that want to develop but not let anyone else develop, of course, because they want the scenery maintained and somebody else. And I happen to have preserved the woodlot, and my wife has planted thousands of trees over the last 30 years, several hundred to several thousand each year in those areas that are not easily farmed, but they're still productive. Those trees are growing. Not only is there beauty, there's production there, real production. That it isn't buying and selling land does not create new wealth at all, but growing crops does. I think Senate Bill 237 opens the door on some lots of record, maybe too much, but and that part of it I would like to see restricted. During our process of hearings in Marion County for our land use laws, we started out with types of zones, and it was experimental, of course, and it changed the zoning designation. But when it come to originally many, perhaps most of the farmers were opposed to zoning. They still wanted to do their own thing, but pretty soon they saw that they were not only not able to do their own thing, which was to farm, but they were being restricted because neighboring farmers were putting up more houses and the mobile home lots and so forth.
Madam Chair.
And during that time, the lawyer got up at our hearings and he said, "People, I want to advise you. Divide your land now as fast as possible, because as soon as this goes through, you'll no longer be able if you've got any kind of land, divide it." He had farmland of his own. He wanted to develop it. And of course, this was the attitude. Let's divide and destroy quickly before the people that want the farm get a chance to be in the majority, which we now are in our area. But it took a long time. And the word went out that you couldn't sell your land if you went in the EFU zone. They're still preaching this. Of course it isn't true. You can sell your land for farm purposes, the same as you can sell commercial land for commercial purposes. But you can't sell it for industrial if it's in a commercial zone. And this old myth goes on and on. And it I hate to take the time out to go over it, but I think it's necessary because it comes up perennially.
Representative Hill, did you have a question?
Yeah, I'd just like to ask, how large is your farm operation, and do you have any landline fallow?
I have no landline fallow other than that to kill weeds or for some that purpose. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I think it's the time to mention the gentleman preceding me said, "Well, we got farmland running out our ears. Do we destroy factories when they're not in use? Do we destroy homes when they're not being occupied?" This is the very thing he's asking for. Let's go out and develop and destroy it and fix it so it can't be farmed anymore now, because it isn't being used, because, well, we might need it in the future. Well, we don't need the houses either. We don't need any more sawmills right now, or maybe today, but we didn't yesterday. But we didn't destroy the sawmills, and we shouldn't destroy the forests and put houses on them so it can no longer raise trees, just because for a temporary period of time. And history has shown us those countries throughout the world that have destroyed their land, and they're starving now by the tens of thousands, millions. North Africa was very productive centuries ago. It's a desert now because they didn't protect what they had. And there, Greece and other countries go on and on. There are many legitimate small farms and potential small acreage farm operations, and they should also be protected from those who pose as part-time farmers but are just laying the groundwork for more dividing and destroying. I think this bill addresses that. We're trying to make a balance, of course, between keeping someone from farming legitimately and keeping someone from destroying under the pose of farming, and I think it goes a long way to do that. I would like to, I'm skipping, but I would like to, I guess, almost totally refute what the representatives of Associated Oregon Industries brought out. Associated Oregon Counties, OSC. They want the flexibility. They've had too much flexibility in the past. They want to decide on an issue by issue basis. And it's kind of like a pork barreling situation, you know, where we can help those that we'd like to help and we can hinder those that we'd like to. If we all operate under the same rules, we can operate a whole lot better. And that's why we need statewide land use planning. And those commissioners, many of them recognize this, and others yet do not. That if they have those guidelines, and I'm glad we got statewide guidelines and enforcement in other areas. In Marion County, we have a former district attorney, if you're not familiar with, a former a sheriff, a former a treasurer that lost his $17 million. If he'd followed the guidelines, would never have happened. And we need it in land use planning because we're dealing with all of our property. I would like to, a gentleman that I can't remember of ever hearing of or meeting was the second preceding me, Gary Sundquist, I think.
Yes.
I think he did an excellent job. And I want to endorse, I think, as nearly as I can determine, 100% of what he said. He has a lot of insight, and I want to second what he said. Without repeating it. The gentleman that just preceded me on several issues, I would like to oppose or disagree with because there's no way that I see that you can preserve the farmland without you just can't look after this so-called little fellow. As I say, I don't know of any single little fellow. They do exist, but I think they're very few compared with the number that it's just one of their speculations. A neighbor of mine, 40 acres, he brought in a house from town and put out there for one of his sons. 2 other acres is designated for his children on paper. But the man also has another 17 acres where she has a very expensive home on. He owns a restaurant and he owns the hardware. Is there a hardship there on that 40 acres? I don't think so. Another adjoining neighbor that wanted to put 50 houses on a house per acre is approximately 50. I don't know, somewhere between 40 and 50. Bought the land, complained he paid $900 an acre. For it and what am I going to do with it? Well, he could have sold it for farmland for $1,500 or so. He talked somebody into at that time and now much more. But he speculated and couldn't put the houses on there and complained bitterly before a planning commission. And these are the things that come before a planning commission. I also served as chairman twice or three times in those years on the planning commission. And difference, as I see it, in having, and I think it's only right that farmers should decide on what land is farmable and whatnot, instead of, as it has been in the past, the real estate brokers and developers being those that make the decision, and which happens in many of our planning commissions. And the old idea of we ought to be able to divide for our children. I have 5 children. On the planning commission, there were 2 other members, each with 8 children. And so if each one gave in one generation, of course, our whole land use base would be destroyed. But we're talking about you have bills before the Senate and the House of Representatives, I think, or did have, for instance, who on commissions on the Forestry Commission. You're talking about state forest land. You're talking about public land. But here we're talking about private land. It's all privately owned, and we want to deal with each other on the same manner, regardless. If I've told them many times, I would like to farm here, have a farm right where we're sitting here in Salem, because it's some of the finest land in the valley. It is neither practical, except if the darn buildings weren't here, it would be a better place than what I have, because all of it is number one land. And Kaiser, they extended out. And when we formed our zoning, determining zones, if some of the county employees hadn't owned land out there, we'd have had a smaller urban growth boundary. But they had been speculating. They owned that land. They wanted to include it because they didn't intend to farm it. They were speculating with it. We were told that the county was going to go to the mat and play hardball and protect the EFU zone if we would allow special ag zone, which is similar to our marginal lands here. Allowed the special ag zone, and now they want more flexibility, allow more non-farm houses in our EFU zone. I just don't trust them anymore. I look for them for protection, and the rest of the farmers in Marion County look for protection. Yes, and I'm a member of the Farm Bureau, one of these lowly members, where the decision is made step by step in a democratic manner, the same as in the state. And you go to the state convention and the resolutions and the delegates. I've served at every level, including a state director, and I've been to many meetings for many years, but it is done on a democratic manner, and majority, and they fought over this land abuse thing bitterly. And this last session in Pendleton this year, they got all the things in line so that there's no ambiguities in it anymore, in their policy. In one place it said we favor production of farmland and no new farms, zones, and all that, and another said, well, local control. But local control doesn't do it. It destroys it. And thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Questions?
Any questions?
I'll go back.
Thank you very, very much.
I'll go back to the farm.
Jim Ellison very kindly said he would wait since he had spoke the other day, but he has some amendments. And I'm sorry, I didn't know there would be that many new people before you got here. But.
Madam Chairman, I am Jim Ellison, and like my former classmate, Manton Carl, I've enjoyed listening to all the testimony this afternoon.
I want to know where you went to school together.
Pardon?
Where did you go to school together?
Oregon State University. This committee faces an exceedingly difficult and challenging chore. I have listened to testimony last Tuesday night and all afternoon. The Farm Bureau proposes to amend the bill to put it 1,000 acres. 1,000 Friends of Oregon, also known as Oregon Agricultural or Agriculture for Oregon, wants to go back to 320. I do not believe that you can write a definition of marginal land and fit it into all 36 counties. I just simply do not believe that you can do that. Now, I can tell you this. Marginal land is in the eyes of the beholder. But while you were taking testimony, I went down to the Legislative Council's office and borrowed a dictionary. And I thought, well, what do you suppose the Joe Doakes out here, when he thinks about marginal land, does he think about what the definition is in this law, or does he think about a Webster definition? And I wrote it down. Having a character or capacity fitted to yield a supply of goods, which when marketed at existing price levels, will barely cover the cost of production. Now, there are a number of definitions of marginal land, but that one seemed to me, there are a number of definitions of marginal, but this one seemed to me to be the most applicable. If you amend this bill to up to either 320 or 1,000, especially 1,000, There is no marginal land in Washington County, and there probably is none in Clackamas County. Now, if that's the intent, the legislative intent, as you've heard a number of people say, you're going to put a carrot out here, you're going to let a lot of people believe you've done something, when in fact you haven't, then I think that you are writing the necessary legislation that will virtually guarantee another initiative petition on LCDC. It was my understanding that what we were going to do was draft legislation that would solve some of these problems. Now, those of us who live in Washington County believe that land that is up above 500 and 1,000 feet in elevation, which is subject to serious erosion, which has been partitioned, is in fact marginal farmland. Now, if you want to have a definition that excludes Washington and Clackamas County, then all you have to do is to follow the Farm Bureau 1,000 bit, and it won't work. I have some proposed amendments.
Good, okay.
They're radical.
Sorry,
I'm doing a good job here. I assume that you will see it the other. Madam Chairperson and members of the committee, you can make this exceedingly complicated, or you can make it simple. I propose a simple solution. First, Madam Chairman, I have been involved with land use planning, the technical details, for 11 years. I have helped write a number of zoning texts. I have been involved with one statewide initiative petition. And I won't embarrass anybody by asking what was in it, because I know that nobody knows or remembers for sure. It was all so badly ballyhooed. I seldom agree with planning directors, but I can tell you I agree with every planning director who's been before your committee. What you have is an unworkable bill, and it's not going to produce anything in Western Oregon. I can't answer for Eastern Oregon. It simply will not work. The Senate sent you a sow's ear, and you can't make a silk purse out of it without radical surgery. Number one, you cannot write a definition. If you're going to assume that every county has some marginal land, now, if you assume that there's no marginal land in Clackamas County, and there's none in Washington County, and there's none in Marion County, but you had a Marion County planning director say, yeah, we got some real marginal land. If you're going to assume that there's some marginal land in every county, you simply cannot write a definition in law that will work in all 36 counties. I propose that if you're going to proceed with this business, you divide the state into four districts. And that's what I have proposed here, but I do not presume to be able to write a definition for Eastern Oregon. In the 18 Eastern Oregon counties, marginal lands mean a geographic area, and you let somebody who knows what the heck the score is in Eastern Oregon write the definition for marginal lands. You do the same thing for the coast, west of the Coast Range. Then we have a different area, Jackson, Josephine County, and that part of Douglas County lying east of the summit of the Coast Range. And then I believe, although I'm not positive, that you can put the rest of the county, excuse me, the rest of the state into one region. And that is the land that is drained by the Willamette River. And I'm not too sure about Clatsop and Columbia County, whether they will fit in that category, but hopefully they would. Now, I don't propose in this simple solution that I have written the correct definition, a workable one, for the remainder of the state, but I've attempted. And let me be perfectly candid with you. This definition will, in fact, work in Washington County. It will allow us to put our AF-20 land, which we consider marginal land, into this category. Let me read it to you. A marginal land means a geographic area which meets all of the following conditions. One, consists of at least 200 acres. Now, you probably would want to supplement that saying, the acreage shall be determined by an examination of the tax assessor's roll, because there are at least two ways of determining how much acres are acres. There is the meets and bounds legal description, and there's a tax assessor's position. Has an average lot size of less than 25 acres. Now, that's pretty simple to determine. You add them all up, and you divide by the number of lots, and the average is either less than 25 acres or it's not. Consists of soils which are primarily class 3 through 8 because of slope. That eliminates all of the valley floor. You can't have a class 3 soil on account of slope on a valley floor. But bear in mind that class 3 soil on account of slope goes up as high as 20%. And that's damn steep. And on Chehalis Mountain in Washington County, when you start farming 20% slope, you've got erosion and lots of it. And finally, the fourth category that I suggest here is based upon something, some kind of research, and you've referred to some other publications. There is none of the parcels in this geographic area is likely to be capable of sustaining a commercial farm operation over an extended period of time. Now, mind you, Madam Chairman, members of the committee, I'm trying to convince you of a concept of how you can solve this problem, not suggesting that I've got all the details worked out. One of the problems, okay, now, let's talk about partitioning the land. After you finally created this geographic area, are you going to allow any partitioning? The present bill would have you believe, yes, you can create 20-acre parcels. My friends, what makes you think that it is good land use planning to always cut a 40-acre parcel into 220s? Where do you think that comes from? That is not good land use planning. And I'll give credit to Martin Crampton, who was Washington County's planning director and subsequently went to Multnomah County. He had an idea. He said, it isn't good planning to take a cookie cutter and cut everything up into 5 or 10 or 20-acre parcels. There are times, my friends, when it is much more logical to take a 40-acre parcel and cut it into a 23 and a 17, because the 17 acres may be the tillable land and the 23 acres may be the steep forested land. And we've adopted that concept in Washington County, and it's a workable concept. So when you pass a state law and you say, as this one proposes, as you got from the Senate, 40 acres, whack it down the center and create 220s. That's period. That's all you can do if you've got 40 acres. It also says if you've got 39.99 acres, I don't give a damn how many small parcels around it, you can't divide it, period. Now, that's not the kind of state law that you need to adopt for good land use planning. And so my suggestion is that you keep it simple. And if you want a 20, if the legislature says, generally speaking, we don't want anything less than 20 acres in marginal lands, and that's what this law says, then okay, fine. But you provide an out by saying the county zoning code may contain a provision for lots of exception or for varying the lot size subject to LCDC approval of the text. There's the control. In other words, here's our proposed zoning text. If LCDC says okay, fine. I think we'd have no trouble telling LCDC, look, we want to be able to divide a 40-acre parcel, this marginal land, into a 17 and a 23. We don't want to have to be stuck with 220s. And then the following uses by right, and by the way, if I might put in a personal situation, some of you know I've been down here now for about 5 sessions, and the last 4, I've always been down here pushing a lot of record concept or bill, and I've always lost it on the floor of the House by 2 or 3 votes. Now, I tried to convince people that what I was proposing was not for my personal financial gain, but some people who shall be nameless, including some members of the House of Representatives, were very effective in saying Allison is down here working for a lot of record bill because he wants to validate his particular property. Now let me tell you something. I said it 2 years ago, I said it 4 years ago, and I'll say it again. Now I'm in better shape. I'm not down here for my own personal interest. Matter of fact, if my own personal interest, I'd be home forgetting it, because if you pass this, it's to my financial advantage the way you got it right now. the land, the little lousy 43 acres of farmland, hill land that my wife and I own, was recommended by the planning department staff for a physically developed and committed area. It was approved by the Planning Commission for a physically developed and committed area. It was approved by the Board of Commissioners as a physically developed and committed area. It was approved by the staff of LCDC as being in a physically developed and committed area. And it was one of 135 out of 139 geographic areas that have already been approved by LCDC. Now, I'm not saying that the Fowden Friends of Oregon aren't going to sometime along come along and challenge it again yet, but I want you to understand that what I'm talking about is not to pad my pocket, because a sabotage job has been run on me and my wife in the past. Now, there's a simple way to solve. If this commission and this legislature are really interested and genuinely concerned about the so-called marginal lands problem, you don't have to have LCDC screw around for 2 or 3 years amending the goal and then turn around and we come back and try to amend all our plans all over again and take people out of EFU and put them into marginal lands. There's a very simple solution, and I've set it forth here in Section 4, the concept. In the process of approving a county's comprehensive plan or an amendment thereto, the commission, LCDC, shall approve an exception to LCDC goals 3 and 4 for those land determined by the county to be marginal land if the commission finds that the county has substantially, or you can take that out, complied with the provisions of the law. So you say by law, here are marginal lands. You say by law, here's what you can do with them. You say by law, if that's what you want to do, this is the way you can divide them or can't divide them. There it is. That's simple. Now then, we go home and we identify our marginal lands and we take an exception to the goals for those marginal lands, and you directed LCDC to approve it. That's all that has to be done. You don't have to get this complicated and complex. One final point, and thank you for listening. About the EFU. I have no personal problems with perhaps saying thou shalt not create any more non-farm parcels. But my God, folks, I can tell you people in Washington County who have spent, an honest-to-God farmer, not some hillbilly like me, an honest-to-God farmer who went through the process and cost them somewhere between $1,000 and $1,500 and got county approval to create a non-farm parcel on a corner of his 40-acre farm, in which all the neighbors testified it isn't going to interfere with our farming operation if this farmer divides the land, because he's ultimately going to give it to his son to build a house to help him on the farm. If you're going to pass a law that says after he's gone through all those hoops and followed your law right today, now and say, sorry, you can't have a farm-related dwelling, you are not going to create very many additional friends. It's one thing to stop the creation of additional lots, if that's what you want to do. But those who have followed the state law right to the letter and have created their parcel but haven't yet built on it, to say you can't build on it, that I don't think is going to be conducive. Now, the reason that we are concerned about, as Representative Troop calls it, tightening up the EFU zone, the reason we're concerned is because we look at this Senate Bill 237 and its non-marginal lands, and we see people who have purchased, notwithstanding the last speaker's talking about everybody who's purchased these has got a half a dozen or a dozen of them out there. That's not the case in Washington County. These people have purchased a small parcel of Class 3 and 4 soils on Chehalis Mountain, according to the comprehensive plan, are buying it on a contract, and they're going to get stuck in the EFU zone and not in the marginal land zone if you pass this bill in essentially the same form as it came from the Senate or as some of the people wanted to vote. Can you imagine what's going to happen in this state when people come in after paying on this parcel for 4 or 5 or 10 years and they want to build a house And they walk up to the counter, and the bureaucrat says, well, sorry, you cannot build on this lot because you are zoned EFU, you are bigger than 2 acres, you are not class 4 through 8. Until you go out and put something on that farm that's going to produce $10,000 of income, or you've already produced a $10,000 income. You see, what we're worried about is not the land that, in Washington County, not the land that's currently zoned EFU, but how many of the small parcels are going to get stuck in the EFU zone if this marginal land bill passes in the form it came from the Senate, because we don't think it is workable. Thank you, Madam Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you for coming. Mr. Allison, just one question. I understand what you're trying to get through in the simplicity and trying to take into account the different regions. We don't do something like that. Could you just give me quickly yes or no? Did you agree with the people from Washington County that came in with their amendment?